what I'm really wanting to share with you tonight. To tell you that everything on this banqueting table is prepared for his covenant kids. And I want to tell you, if you didn't understand anything I had to say, listen to this. If you're a Christian tonight, and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, then that means that this table is prepared for you. That means that Jesus has paid it all. You don't have to do any more to earn it, to deserve it, to work for it. It's yours to receive. It's yours to receive. It's prepared for every one of his covenant children. And if you are saved, if you're his child, then you're one of his covenant children. That's good news. Especially when you hear all that's on this table. Then I asked the Lord, I said, all right, Lord, tell me, why don't your covenant children come to the table? Why don't they come? I mean, if you've prepared it, why didn't I come for so many years? Why haven't I come to this table? And he told me three things. First of all, he said, I had believed the lies of the devil. You see, this is the kind of lie the devil would tell me. He'd say, well, you're really not good enough. I mean, if people really knew what you were like at home, if they really knew what you were like with your kids and how you yelled and screamed at them this morning, or what you really thought about your husband and all the mean things you think you might not even have said, if they really knew what you were like inside and all that goes on inside, you'd never ever say that I'm worthy to come and sit at this table. Now let me just say right up front, that is a lie from the pit of hell. But you see, I can't do anything to deserve it. I can't be good enough. I can't work enough. I can't give enough. I can't tithe enough. I can't witness enough. Oops, there goes my Kleenex. I can't read my Bible enough. I can't pray enough. I can't do anything enough to earn a place at this table. I just have to come. The only thing I have to do is to receive it. Is to receive it. That's the only thing I have to do to earn a place at this table, is to come and receive it. About 4 years ago, we went to South Africa for the first time. We've been here 6 years. And when we left, 11 years ago, we were just so green. We just knew so little. God had called us like Abram, he called Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and just come out. And that's how we were called. God just said, come on out. And we sold everything we had. We gave it all away. And we just came to America with 4 suitcases. And a word from God. I mean, you look back on it now and think, boy, was I green. Was I ever stupid? But you know what? We came by faith. We came by faith. And God he loves it when his children trust him. He loves it when his children just trust him. So we just came by faith. And we just believed him. And we were just really stupid and green. But I tell you what, God taught us so much. He taught us so much of how to believe him, how to trust him, how to take his word and believe what his word says at face value. Not to try and, well, I've got to think about, well, maybe he meant this by meaning this and saying this. And nothing ever means anything when you try and do that with the word of God. But just taking it, not having any deep seminary degree and trying to understand Greek and Hebrew. But what does the English say? What does the word say? I took it and I believed it. And you know what the word says? In Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to tell you, that's where we began to live. We began to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, in 6 years, we drastically changed. When you arrive in a foreign country, didn't know anybody, had no money, no friends, no nothing, and you are thrown completely on the Lord, you change in a hurry. You just change. Your faith gets so big. God gets so big. Your prayers become really important. It's not like, well, should I pray today? Have I had time to pray today? You changed. We changed radically within us. Well, we went home after 6 years and to see my mom and dad and family and so on. And one Sunday, a friend of ours who has a little church in the hometown where I grew up asked John to preach one of the Sundays that we were there. And so he said, would you mind if before you preach, this is a little Baptist church in East London where my parents live, He said, would you mind that before you preach, he said, I've never done this before, but I just believe God is telling me to do this, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. He said, I believe the Lord wants, there's so many people in our church that are sick, and the Lord wants to heal some of these people. And the Lord just told me to invite everybody who is sick to the front of the church, like this, to line up, and I'm just going to anoint them with oil and pray over them. He says, I've never done it, but do you think it's okay? We said, yeah, that's wonderful. Go for it, you know. And so he did. He invited people. If you're, now, my mom and dad came to the church because John was preaching, you see. So they were sitting right, I mean, the prize seats, you know what, the back row over there, you know. You remember those days when the prize seats were at the back row? So they're sitting way back over there. And so David, my ministerial friend, he invites anybody who's sick in the church and you want to be prayed for, come to the front of the church. So about 23 people come to the front of the church. And I mean, God, it's incredible things. He takes the oil, and you know how we put a little spot on like this? He pours it over the woman's hair, you know. It's like, and I'm thinking, oh, David, you surely have never done this before, you know. He pours it over everybody, and I mean, they just in simple faith just saying, oh God, just heal me. There was a woman who was about 26 years old, had three little children, I'll never forget it, clinging to her legs, and she had cancer. And that morning, God healed her of cancer. She went back to the doctor, and she was absolutely healed. I mean, God did some wonderful things out of just clear obedience. I mean, they just said, thank you, Lord, this is what your word says. If any of you are sick among you, let him call for the elders and let them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and they will be healed. Isn't that what James says? Well, let's just take the word at face value and do it. So they did it, and God just did wonderful things. Well, that night we go home, my mom and dad's eyes are like this, you know. It's like, wow, we've never seen this. We've never even been to a church service that does this. So that night we're sitting after church. We'd come home, and my dad was washing the dishes, and mom and I were just sitting at the breakfast table, and John had been watching the news on TV. And he came through, and my mom had developed this enormous big boil in her nose. I mean, her face was just swollen like this. The end of her nose was purple. Her eye was swollen. She was in just miserable. See, and I'm the nurse, you know, so I take the flashlight and I look up in the hospital, and sure enough, it's absolutely swollen shut. It's just purple. It's just horrible. And I said, Mom, why didn't you go forward this morning and ask God to heal you? And she said, I don't want to bother God with that. You know, I've done exactly the same thing. Haven't you? It's like I've got a cold. I don't want to bother God with that. I mean, you just reach, got a headache. I don't want to bother God for that. Just reach for the Tylenol bottle. It's much easier than bothering God. I mean, I'm just as guilty. I've just done exactly the same thing. Oh, I'm sick. I'll just run to the doctor. We don't want to bother God with little things that we can take care of. And we believe the lie of the devil that says you're bothering God when you have a need. Why does God give you needs? Because he wants his children to come to him. He wants his children to come to him. But the devil has said, oh, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Who of us ever are going to be spiritual enough? Who of us ever are going to pray enough or read enough or give enough? We'll never. It's like the carrot at the end of the stick. The devil will always keep pushing that stick, that carrot, little further, because he wants to keep us condemned, feeling terrible, feeling unworthy. And we believe the lie of the devil that says, I don't want to worry God, as if God would be bothered with that. The second reason why we don't come to the table is we don't believe who God really is. That he is a kind, loving, gracious, generous, wonderful Father who is so eager to take care of his children. So eager to give them and bless them. You know, for the longest time I felt like God was a little mingy, you know. It's like you really had to travail in prayer to get anything out of God. I bet some of you have felt like that too. I know, look at you. You're smiling. It's true, eh? Yeah, I felt like that too. I have. And you've got to, I mean, it's like knock and knock and knock and knock and keep. And it's like, Oh, God, and I've got to really have my three ducks in a row before I come into his presence. You know, like, get my praying up to date, get my Bible reading, get my tithing up to date, get my church attendance up to date, get all these things right before I come and even ask God into his presence, ask him for anything. Because God's a holy God, and I'm telling you, if you come into his presence with sin in your life, you're dead. I mean, I felt that. That's exactly what I felt. And every bit of that is a lie from the pit of hell. That's what the devil's told us. You know what the Bible says? If any of you have got need, I mean, if just come. Come boldly into his presence and obtain mercy in time of need. When are you the most needy in your life? When you've just sinned, isn't that right? You're the most needy when you've just blown up at the kids or you've just, I don't know what you did. That's bad. What are your sins? I mean, you're not going to tell me what your sins are. What some terrible thought you've had, or that's when you feel the worst, and that's when the devil says, go hide in the corner and make yourself feel better first. And when you feel better, then you can come into God's presence. I'm telling you, that's a lie. When you've just sinned is when you're the most needy of his grace and of his abundant mercy. And he says, now when you've just sinned, come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. We don't know what a gracious God he is. What a wonderful Savior he is. What a generous God he is. He has stretched out his hands and he feeds the birds of the air. He stretches out his hands and he feeds the animals. That's what the psalmist says. I mean, he is a generous God, but we haven't believed that. And we haven't come and enjoyed his presence. And the third thing is, we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. If the truth were known, most of us feel like tonight that I am just a sinner saved by grace. And it's like I am just going to squeak into heaven. Boy, I got my ticket to heaven. I've asked Jesus. I prayed that prayer when I was 12 or 15 or 18. And I'm so thankful I got my ticket to heaven. And now I'm going to church and I'm doing my thing at church. And that's all I can hope for. In the sweet by and by, I'll fly away. And I want to tell you, there is so much more. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Are you living an abundant life? Today, have you lived an abundant life? Today, have you just, a volcano within you exploded? You know? You're just going to have to forgive me. I mean, when we sang that song, Majesty, I wanted to go, I wanted to jump up and down. I went, Majesty, oh Lord, you're so worthy of my praise. It's like he was standing right in front of me, and I held everything I could just to hold it in because I wanted to laugh, flare my face. What a wonderful God we are. We serve, and he's here. He loves you, and he's provided everything that you have need of. Everything that you have need of. And you know why? I'm a covenant child. And every single thing that he gave to Jesus, he's given to me. Ephesians 2 says that I am a joint heir. Ephesians 1. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Ephesians 2 says I am seated with him. Seated with him in heavenly places. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Oh, that means everything. I'm his covenant child. Every single thing that God gave to Jesus, he's given it to me. Do you believe that? He's given it to you. But you don't believe it because the devil lied to you and said you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. Boy, I want to blow those lies clean out the water today, tonight. And I want to just tell you that you are the bride of Christ. That he has placed great worth on your life. He loved you that if you were the only person who'd ever sinned on this whole earth, he would have still sent Jesus to die for you. The most precious possession that God ever had was Jesus, his son. And he gave him for you. Because he loves you. But we have put ourselves so down. We've become so, you know, we're so useless. We're so unworthy. I'm just a sinner. Eked in by grace. Saved by grace. I want to tell you, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am a saint. I'm being changed from one degree of glory into another. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am the bride of Christ, and all power is being given unto me. I'm telling you, I know this. I am. I can put my shoulders back. I stand tall no matter where I am, whether I'm sitting in the airplane, or whether I'm walking in the mall, whether I'm, whatever I'm doing, whether I'm cleaning a potty in my house, you know, or just sweeping out the garage, I'm still the same person. Exactly. Or whether I'm standing in front of 500 people or 50 people, I'm the same person. I'm in Christ. And everything He's paid for is mine. The problem is we haven't learned to receive. Okay, I said, all right, Lord, now tell me about the table. Who laid the table? I was driving to the airport, in fact, when I asked him this question. And I said, Lord, who laid this table? I said, did the angels who are ministering servants, did they lay the table? And as clearly as a bell, he said, I laid the table. Jesus laid the table. He prepared every bowl of food on this table. Every bowl of food he prepared. Because every bowl, he is in every bowl. He said, on this table there's a red tablecloth because it's been bought with my blood. You can't earn it. You can't even buy it. Money cannot buy what's on this table. It's been bought with the blood of Jesus. He said, over this table is a banner. And I want to tell you what's not on this banner. It's a welcoming banner. On this welcoming banner is not correct doctrine. Who of us have got the correct doctrine? I mean, we as Baptists think we've got it. The Pentecostals think they've got it. The Methodists think they've got it. Who of us have got the right thing? I mean, you know, really, if you really think about it, it's like 10 blind men coming up to an elephant. And the one says, oh, I know exactly what an elephant feels like. It's firm, and it's got a lot of hair on the end, and he's feeling the tail. And the other one says, oh, no, that's not what an elephant feels like. It's a big, round, strong thing that just is like planted to the ground. And the other one says, oh, no, an elephant is, it's wiggly and wormy, and it can bend in all directions. And the other one says, oh, no, but an elephant is flat. And it's thin, and it's flat, and it's big, and it flaps. See, they're all feeling the elephant, different part of it. And you see, there's coming a day when doctrines and denominations are going to be thrown out the window because we're all the family of God. Isn't that right? We all belong to the family of God. And we just, over this banner is not correct doctrine. In other words, you can't come to this table if you've got the correct doctrine. It's not sinlessness if you've never sinned or you haven't sinned today. If you've been a good child all day today and you haven't sinned, you can come and take your seat. It's not holiness even. If you're holy, if you are holy enough, you can come and sit down. The banner over this table is love. We sang about it tonight. His banner over me, his welcoming banner in this banqueting table is love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, you know it all so well, everybody quotes it at weddings. You know, you can prophesy, you can do all these wonderful things, but if you haven't got love, you're just a clanging brass. I mean, you're just not worth anything. It's love. Oh boy, do we ever need a baptism of love again in the body of Christ. When we learn to love one another and quit judging one another, we learn to love one another and quit pulling up, ripping each other apart and criticizing each other, loving the body of Christ. And so what if you're different? You know, I disagree with some things my husband might say, but that doesn't make him wrong and me right, or him right and me wrong. We love each other. We need to love. Love covers it all. Then there's music playing at this banqueting feast. And I found this wonderful verse in Psalm 32 verse 7 says, thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. And that's what David said in the song, isn't it? In the presence of my enemies, he's prepared a table for me. So I was thinking, what kind of songs? And it's like, do you know that song? I will sing unto the Lord, for he is faithful, he's a horseman rider thrown into the sea. No, I mean, there's just songs of deliverance being played. He has made a way to the table for you. There's a song of deliverance. And then I said, all right, Lord, now tell me, what is on the table? Tell me what's on the table. And he gave me about 25 bowls, and then maybe 100 more, but I just sat down at my kitchen table, and he just began to share with me the different bowls that are on this table. And I'm going to speak about some, and some I'm just going to mention. The first bowl, he said to me, there's a bowl of forgiveness. A large bowl of forgiveness. Before I even get into all the bowls, let me just say this. Every bowl is seasoned with the same seasoning. And that's the seasoning of grace. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. It's grace. It's a grace gift to you. It's grace. And every bowl he has prepared. Now let me say this too. You know, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and in South Africa we don't have Thanksgiving, but it's a wonderful tradition that we've incorporated into our family life since we've been in America. And so I will do the whole thing. I don't make pumpkin pies because I don't know how to, and I'm the only one who likes them. But I will make the turkey and potatoes and green beans and pecan pies. I know I've got a good recipe for a pecan pie. And, you know, we'll just do the whole thing, lay the whole table, and sometimes we'll have a family over, or, you know, and so on. And we just all sit down, and, you know, usually we will give thanks to the Lord for bringing us to America. I can't tell you what an incredible heritage you guys have got. When you come from Africa and you come to America, your heart, it just explodes. 4th of July is like firecrackers inside of my soul, because I'm so thankful to the Lord for this country, and so thankful to the Lord for bringing us to this wonderful country. And you know, the Bible says what you sow, you reap, and America has sown so many missionaries. That's why you're reaping a few now. But it's just... So we just lay the table, and we give thanks to the Father for bringing us to this country. We give thanks for all his blessings. And then we tuck in. Now I want to tell you, my son is 16, he's 6 foot, and he's got hollow legs. You know, you can't fill him up. You know, he eats like 4 or 5 meals a day, and he's as skinny as a scarecrow. You know, he's just thin. But he doesn't sit there and think, now, I wonder if I've been a good boy today. Did I make my bed this morning? I wonder if Mom intends for me to have a piece of turkey. Or I wonder if I've been good enough to have a piece of apple pie. Do you see what I'm saying? Are you getting the gist of what I'm trying to say? I mean, and he doesn't. He sits there and it's free for all. Everything on that table he can have. He can have. And he can stretch your starve. I mean, if you're not hungry, that's up to you. But if you're hungry, you can come and eat. And you know how you eat. And you think, I'm not going to eat for a week. I'm so full. I'm diet. Day starts tomorrow, you know. And I'm not going to eat for a week. I'm so full. And why did I eat this much? And then around about 6 o'clock, you're going into the kitchen to pick up some cold turkey or a little bit of pecan pie. You know, it's like, if only you could stay not hungry, you know. We wouldn't have the problem with these butts and hips and so on. But you see, we've got to constantly come and eat. And that's what Paul said, isn't it, in Ephesians. He said, keep on being filled. Keep on, keep on, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyway, so, having said all that, I want to give you the 25 bowls the Lord gave me. He said, there's a large bowl of forgiveness on that table. And you know, I know that there are some people here tonight. You need to get the biggest spoon you can find and dish up for your soul a bowl of forgiveness. Some of you need to come and ask God to forgive you. That's what I had to do this morning. Okay, this is confession time. But it's like yesterday my husband made me mad. Have you ever told your husband something and you thought it was a great idea and he just kind of fobbed it off as if, well, you know, he didn't listen. He didn't hear you. I got so frustrated with him. I mean, I just was mad at him. Look at you. You're all sitting there looking at me and making me feel guilty. And I know you've all done exactly the same thing. I just got mad at him yesterday morning. And I just brooded over it. And I thought, he's just If only he would just listen to me, he'd be so much better off. And if he would just do what I told him to do, you know. And so I just brood over this. And I was kind of a little peeved with him. Well, just a little. This morning as I went walking, the Lord just said, "Oh, Beverly, you formed judgments in your heart." And I said, "Oh, God, yes." And I took the spoon of forgiveness. And I said, "Lord, forgive me for those judgments. I ask you for cleansing. And I forgive John. I just release him. I forgive him for not listening to me. I forgive him for not taking my advice." And I just released him. But you see, that was just a little thing that I had to do today. Just this morning. I had to do that this morning. But some of you have got stuff that has gone way back, back, back. Some of you have got stuff against past husbands that you've never, ever dealt with. Forgiveness is such a glib word that we know so little about. There are four words for forgiveness in the Bible. And I'm just going to quickly get them to you. Because I'm not talking about forgiveness. I'm just going to take 1 minute here. The first word for forgiveness is to cancel the debt or to remit, and it's found in Matthew 18. And you know the story of the servants who went to the master and he said, "Please forgive me," and they wouldn't forgive you. And the master said, "I will cancel the debt." So the word for forgiveness is to cancel a debt. Somebody owes you $10,000. You take the little note and you say, "I cancel the debt. You no longer owe me that $10,000. I just cancel the debt. It's over. You don't owe it to me anymore." Second word for forgiveness is to loose. That's also found in Matthew 18, verse 27. It means to release. Just to release them. Get them out of prison. I release you from the judgments I've held against you. I just release you. I wish we had time to just expand all these words, but we don't. That's another word for forgiveness. A third word for forgiveness is to cover. Oh, we as ladies don't do good here. It means to cover, it's found in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Love covers. It covers. Instead of exposing, somebody hurts you, somebody does a negative thing towards you, and you get mad, what do? You get on the phone and you tell your husband or tell your best friend, or you uncover. And instead of covering, you uncover. Love covers. Forgiveness, it's the same word, but it's translated in the English. The same Greek word, but in the English it's translated to cover. To cover. And the fourth word is to be gracious to. To be gracious to. To go towards that mother-in-law who has hurt you for 10 years. With love. To be gracious to. And your scripture reference is Ephesians 4 verse 32. To be gracious towards that person. To forgive that person. Is there somebody in your life that if you had to see them today, you would not be able, you'd want to walk out. If they walked into this room, you'd like to walk out that door. Or if there's somebody who walked into the room, you could be civil to them. You could say, "Well, hi, how are you doing?" And you don't really mean it anyway. You're not really interested in how they're doing, you know. You can't go towards them with graciousness. I want to tell you, you've got unforgiveness in your heart. And unforgiveness is a cancer that will destroy you. In fact, the Bible tells me that unforgiveness is the only thing that stops the grace of God working in my life. The only thing. Because Jesus said in the end of Matthew 18, "If you will not forgive, neither will I forgive you." Isn't that right? Go read it. "Neither will I forgive you." Unforgiveness, bitterness, harboring judgments against one another, it'll destroy you. It'll absolutely destroy you. It gives ground to the enemy. That's what Ephesians 4 talks about. It gives ground to the enemy. And it says, "Devil, come on in here. Destroy my body, destroy my finances, destroy my relationships. Just come in and do whatever you want to do." Unforgiveness is a cancer that'll kill you. There is no Unforgiveness is inexcusable in the child of God. You see, he poured out his grace towards us and forgave us so much. We can forgive too. You know, perhaps tomorrow morning when you've got time, read Matthew 18. Read the whole thing. The whole thing is dealing with unforgiveness. It's dealing with binding and loosing, and we take those verses out of context. But the whole thing, and Peter comes to him and says, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus says, 70 times 7. If that one brother has offended you 70 times 7 times, keep on forgiving. You see, unforgiveness or forgiveness is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of your spirit. Somebody cuts in front of you on the freeway. Just, I forgive you. It's okay. Having a forgiving heart. Boy, I better deal with it. It's like God won't let me sweep anything under the carpet. Nothing. No unforgiveness is swept under the carpet in my life. In fact, just recently the Lord showed me somebody who I really couldn't be gracious towards. He was a pastor. And he had wounded me. He had spoken lies against me. It was hard. I mean, he was in the wrong. I wasn't in the wrong. He was in the wrong. That always is, isn't it? And he was a pastor, you know? And do you know that just 2 months ago, the Lord told me, I wasn't even the one in the wrong, but the Lord told me to go to that man and to forgive him for the things that he had said about me. You know, I walked into his office and I sat down and I said, the Lord's told me to come and speak to you. Before I could even get the words out of my mouth, he said to me, Beverly, before you say anything, let me say, I'm so sorry for the things that I said. I don't know why I said them. They weren't even true. I spoke out of anger. Please forgive me. I mean, you could have blown me off that chair with a feather. But the Lord sent me. He won't let you see. I couldn't be gracious to that man. If that man walked into the room, I would have greeted him. It would have been really cool. And I surely wouldn't want to have a real good conversation with him. You know? I couldn't go towards him in love and in graciousness. Because in my heart there were wounds. In my heart there was unforgiveness. I want to tell you, tonight I could do that. Because before I left his office, I prayed over him, I blessed him, I hugged him like my brother. And if he had to walk in here tonight, I would be so excited to see him. I want to tell you, girls, if you get nothing else out of this retreat, just dealing with unforgiveness in your life will bring you incredible freedom. It will so release your spirit. It's just amazing. 2 weekends ago, I spoke at a little retreat in Henderson, I think it was, Texas. And this lady, I'd never met her, didn't know anything about her. After the meeting, after one of the sessions that I spoke at, she came and sat in a chair, and she had a list this long that the Holy Spirit brought to her that she needed to forgive people. She needed to forgive past husbands, past... She named all these people. I didn't know who they were. I mean, I couldn't even tell you what they were. And she just released them. She said, I just forgive so-and-so for hurting me. I forgive so-and-so for speaking those words. I forgive so-and-so for being ugly to my child. I mean, whatever the Holy Spirit brought up to her mind, she just did spring cleaning in her heart. I want to tell you, that's a transformed lady. She went to church the next day, smiling from ear to ear. My friend called me, the lady who had organized the whole retreat. She said, I can't tell you how different Jean is. People came up to Jean at church yesterday morning and said, Jean, what has happened to you? Why are you so happy? All she did was get rid of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If there's an area where you can't get free in your life, an area of depression, an area of bondage, an area of, it's just like it niggles at you. 99.9% of the time, you'll find this unforgiveness in your past. And you need to forgive. There's somebody here tonight who's been abused, sexually abused. And I think it's by your father. And the Lord says you need to forgive him. Release him. Release him. Forgive him. So that you can get free yourself. There's some people here tonight who've been wounded by pastors or a deacon or a Bible study leader. You've You've got to forgive. You've got to lay it down at the cross and forgive. And get free of it for your own benefit, for your own sake. Not for anybody else's sake, for your own sake. Because if you don't, the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will destroy you. You'll be wondering a little while later, why am I so down? Why am I feeling so depressed? Why have I got no energy in my life? Do a stock take on forgiveness. Some of you just need to come and ask God for some forgiveness. You've blown it somewhere. There's some things you've done wrong. And even as I'm speaking tonight, the Holy Spirit is showing you there's some areas that you need to say, Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Okay, there's a bowl of boldness. Need a bowl of boldness? It's wonderful. My daughter is just 18 years old. The other day she was coming back from school, and as she was driving down the road, the Lord said to her, go to Tom Thumb. Do you have Tom Thumb up here? It's a supermarket, like, do you have Winn-Dixie? Or what kind of supermarket do you have? What? Homeland. Okay, whatever. She's going to go. And he says, go to Tom Thumb. And he says, there'll be a boy at the video station. You know, where they have video, they hire out the video things. And just go and talk to him about me. So she goes to Tom Thumb. She's like nervous and saying, oh God, help me. Boy, I hope I heard you. Help me, Lord, help me. And so she just goes right up to that guy. His name is Jason. And she didn't know him. Doesn't know him from a bar of soap. She didn't know him at all. And he just, she's about 21 years old, you know, just he's in college. And she starts to talk to him. He says, do you know Jesus? And he said, who do you mean? Who's Jesus? And she said, you know Jesus, God's son. She says, well, I know about him. She says, well, do you really know him in your heart? He said, no. He says, my mother does, but I don't. I don't even know how to. And in 20 minutes' time, she'd led him right to Jesus. She prayed the prayer. And we were eating at Chili's the other night, about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. And I recognized him. He changed jobs. He wasn't at Tom Thumb anymore. He was at Chili's. And I said, Jason. And he said, oh, yes, you, Tracy's mother. She's the one who told me about Jesus. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? I was so blessed. I'm telling you, I could have done a somersault through Chili's. I was so blessed. Boldness. Boldness just to speak a word for Jesus. Some of you need to say, oh God, I am so timid. But let me tell you something. God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear. But he has given you what? Power. Love. Sound mind. Isn't that good? Don't receive that spirit of timidity. That's a lie from the pit of hell too. That comes straight from the devil. Oh God, I receive your boldness. It's my birthright. I'm a covenant child. There's a bowl of confidence. Confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a bowl of patience. Some of you with little baby, 2, 3, 4 year old kids need a bunch of patience. Every day I need that patience, Lord. Every day I'm coming to say, oh God, I don't have it, but would you please give me your patience today? And sometimes I've got to come 10 times a day for that patience. You know, he really doesn't mind. But keep receiving his patience. You don't have to put up with your impatience. Confess it as a sin. Put it under the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm so impatient, but I receive your patience. I'm telling you, it works. There's a bowl of provision. There's a bowl of provision. Oh, I didn't bring my purse. I wanted to bring my purse. I've got a great purse. It's okay. I'll show it to you tomorrow. Well, I'll just tell you about it, and then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. In the spring, no, it wasn't. It was last year this time, because that's right, because I'm going to that same church next weekend. I walk every morning, you know, and so I'm walking around the block, and I can take you to the place in the road. I had a purse that I bought for $10 on Mervyn sale about 3 years ago. It was dead. I mean, it was dead. It was dirty. It was old. It's the only purse I got, you know. It's just like I wear one purse until it's finished, and I throw it away, and then I get another purse, you know. So I'm walking around the block, and I said, Lord, I really need a new purse. And I'm telling you, we had this little conversation going again. And he said, what kind of purse would you like?
And so I'm going to write a book one of these days, and it's going to be called The Wild Woman of Prayer. Because here I am, I'm saying, so I said to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, seeing I'm asking you and nobody else is around and it's just you and me, I've said this to him a number of times and I'm feeling particularly wild, you know. I said, I want to ask you for a Dooney and Burke purse. Now, I'm telling you, I've not even priced those things. I don't know where they're sold. I've just seen them. I've seen some of my friends who got them, and I just know they're kind of expensive purses, okay? So I said, well, Lord, seeing I'm coming to the King of Kings. I mean, he is the King of Kings. After all, he owns all the gold and all the silver, and he owns all the moles. He owns all the Dooney and Burke purses in this whole world. You just think you own yours, but he really owns it. And I said, Lord, I'd like a Dooney and Burke purse. He said, what color? I said, gee, I don't even know what colors they have. I mean, I've seen black and I've seen white, but and I honestly said this, I'm not making any of this up, because God will really get me if I make it up. And then I'll have to come back tomorrow and confess it. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to leave the color up to you. Well, that afternoon, I flew to Arkansas to speak at a ladies' meeting, and the next morning, I'm sitting in the meeting, and a woman comes up to me with a sack, and inside the sack is a Dooney and Burke Hunter Green. Isn't that the most gorgeous color? I couldn't have chosen a better color. I love Hunter Green. It's my favorite color. Hunter Green Dooney and Burke purse. I mean, like a $300 purse. I screamed. I mean, you know, it's like, here we're sitting in this meeting going, I didn't look like this, and everybody looked at me as, because nobody had even known. Nobody, only God and I knew about the prayer I prayed the day before. And less than 24 hours later, this woman said, I've had this purse for 3 years, and it stayed in my closet, and I've just never used it. And she said, last night the Lord told me that purse belonged to you. And I said, oh God, what comes first, the need or the provision? One, I want to tell you something. The provision comes before the need. Do you know that? The provision comes. God has laid a table. I'm going to come receive it. I want to tell you, I am walking this out this very day. I'm receiving it. There have been so many days when we've taken our bills and I've just gone like this. Lord, this bill really needs to be paid today. Would you please provide so that... Yes, and some, you know, I don't know who's more fortunate, but the Lord has taught us to walk and live by faith, to live by sowing and reaping, so that everything that comes into my life is not really mine. I mean, even my clothes, what I've got on today, everything is given to me. I mean, a friend took me shopping. It's cute, don't you think? It's quite a nice outfit. She bought it for me. She gave it to me. But it's like, if God told me to give it away tomorrow, I would have freedom to do it, because, you see, everything that's mine is His, and everything that's His is mine. So it's like He gives so that I can give, so that He can give, so that I can sow, so that I can reap, so that I can sow. It always ends on the sowing. See, it's the nature of God to give. And if you haven't got into the lifestyle of giving, you're missing the most incredible blessing. I want to tell you one quick story. And I don't know if I told you the story last time I was here. I don't know if I did. I might have, but some of you... We were down to 32 cents in the bank. Did I tell you the story? Had 4 slices of bread. Did I tell you the story? Okay, you would have known it by then. 4 slices of bread and this much milk. It's kind of low. 32 cents in the bank, no gas in the car. Very little food in the house. And John said to me, Beverly, we have such a great need. We need the first money that comes in. We need to sow it. See, no farmer eats all his seed. He sows his seed, doesn't he? Because he wants a harvest. So that he can sow again, and so he can eat and sow, okay? So he said, the very first money that comes in, we need to sow. We need to give it away. I said, great, we'll just do it. Meantime. So the Wednesday night, I went to a meeting with a friend of mine. She came and picked me up, and we were walking into... this meeting, and as I'm walking in, a stranger, I didn't know this woman at all, she came up to me, she says, the Lord told me to give you this. And she said, I was going to give it to you after the service, but he just said, give it to you right now. She put a note in my hand. And I didn't look at it. I said, oh, thank you so much. My heart's going, ha. Ah. And I stuck it in my purse. I didn't even look at it. Well, the offering time comes. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I've got to give that money. And I'm thinking, if it's $5, I don't mind giving $5. Because really, $5 doesn't give you a whole lot of gas and food and everything else. But you know, it could be $100. And I've got this, I'm going through this conversation in my mind, you know, with the Lord. And I'm saying, oh, and the Spirit of God saying, give, give, give. And then the Spirit of God quoted a verse of scripture to me. I've never learned it off by heart. I still don't know it off by heart. But he quoted it to me. He said, he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food. He said, he provides seed for the sower and bread for food. 1 Corinthians 8, 9, somewhere around there, you know, that whole section. And he said to me, Beverly, is this seed or is this bread? I'd never heard anybody say this. I mean, the Spirit said this to me. And I said, well, I suppose it's seed, Lord. And I put my hand in my bag, I took it out, and you know, it was $100 bill. And I was crying by this time, because we had great need. I mean, when your children need food, you've got great need, you know? I put in the envelope, and I put in the offering plate, and all of a sudden, I just got so happy. I just got so incredibly, hilariously happy. And I just said, thank you, Lord. You're going to give us such a great big harvest. It's just going to be wonderful. Just going to be wonderful. I went home that night. I said, John, you'll never believe what I did. I just gave away $100. He said, praise you, Jesus. He was so excited. Well, Thursday, there was nothing. We didn't get anything in the mail, and we were right down. But on Thursday morning, Tracy, she didn't know how to say this, you know. This is my daughter. This is a few years ago this happened. She said, Mom, I had the most strange dream. She said, I dreamt, really what she had was a word of knowledge, which we didn't know, but kind of know now. She said, I had a strange dream that we were given two checks of $1,000 each. And I remember thinking, well, that would be sure nice if it was true. But, well, you know, little girl is just having a dream type of thing. But do you know, on this Friday morning, there was a knock at the door, and a man on his way to work said, the Lord told me to give you this, and I was to bring it to you right now for the $1,000 check. On the 2 days later, a check came in the mail, anonymous check, just a postal order thing from the bank or whatever, for another $1,000. I'm telling you, when you sow and you get into that whole cycle of sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, God's provision is there. Just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we gave away our car, our only car. Oh, no, we've got another car. We've been in the States 11 years, and I bet we've given away, I don't know, I want to say like about 7 cars. But God just gives back to us. He gives to us and we give away. And then he gives to us again and we just give away. There were some folks going, we were given a Bronco. You know what a Bronco is? I mean, most women don't know much about cars. But we were given this Bronco, and some friends of ours were called as missionaries to go to Alaska, and they needed a Bronco and to see what's mine is theirs and belongs to God anyway. And the Lord said, you need to pass it on. So we just passed it on. And you know what? I'm just excited to see how God's going to provide a car for us. He hasn't yet, but I'm telling you, I'm eating at that bowl of provision every single day. I'm reminding him, Lord God, I'm your covenant child, and I'm coming and I'm receiving that car. And I walk, and I just put my both hands in the air. And Lord, I just receive that car. I thank you for the car that you've given me. I just receive it because, you see, I know that when you sow, you'll reap. Not so that I can get rich and get big, you know, and have better or anything. No, but so that I can give again. It's wonderful. It's far more blessed to give than it is to receive. It truly is. We just have a whole life
lifestyle of giving. As he gives to me, I just give. And I'm telling you, God is a God of the provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you're wanting tonight, it's because you haven't come to the table and dished out for yourself the biggest helping of provision. Some of you are trying to satisfy your own needs and work hard, and instead of saying, oh God, I've got nothing, but would you please provide so that I'll have to pay my debts and I'll have some to give away. I want to tell you this wonderful verse of scripture. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having a sufficiency in all things might abound unto every good work. Some of us need to get in. It doesn't matter if you've only got $5. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. It's got nothing to do with it. It's the whole lifestyle of giving. Giving to one another. Not only money, not only possessions, time, love, friendship, giving. I'm telling you, a church is so different. I can tell almost the flavor of a church just by the attitude of giving in a church. If they're warm and they're open in their spirits and they give love, and you can feel they're just receiving and they're just giving to one another, the Spirit of God is dwelling in that fellowship. Because where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's liberty to receive and there's a liberty to give. I could just tell you story after story after story. I mean, up-to-date stories, like one day, 2 day, 3 day old stories of God's wonderful provision for us, for our family. It's absolutely wonderful as we've got into the whole lifestyle of sowing and reaping. God's provision is there. There's a bowl of wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, come and ask of God, who will give to you generously, liberally, my Bible says. And he won't upbraid you. He won't scold you. He won't say, you naughty child, I gave you some yesterday. He'll say, yes, have some more. You need wisdom? Boy, I need wisdom with my teenage kids. You know, I need wisdom. I need wisdom how to handle my husband sometimes. You know? We need wisdom. Come and get it from the Lord. There's a bowl of love. I spoke to a woman a little while back and she called me. She said, I've been married for 32 years and I don't love my husband. Never told that to another soul, but I don't love him. I live with him and I don't know what else I could do, but I don't love him. I wonder how many that is true of here tonight. I want to tell you that the word says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. As we receive his love, I can then love. And if you haven't received his love, you can't love. Your love is going to dry up as soon as he wounds you or hurts you or stands on your favorite corn. You know, it's going to go out the window. And you know what it's like in a marriage. The honeymoon is over after about 2 years. And it takes some hard, tough love to make a marriage work. We're going to talk a little bit about that in my workshop tomorrow. It's love. Some of you need to say, oh God, I don't love, but I receive your love for my mother-in-law. Today, show me how to love her. Or I receive your love today for this rebellious child or this difficult sister-in-law or whatever it is, or the person you work with. Lord, help me to love them with your love. I receive your love. There's a bowl of joy. When last did you have a good belly laugh? I mean, laugh from your belly, you know? Until your sides just ached. I want to tell you, I believe the Lord in this day and age is restoring joy to his people. Some of you need to get again the joy of your salvation. You need to come and have a dose of joy tonight. There's a bowl of joy on this table. There's a bowl of protection. Oh, I love the story. This happened just like, I think, 2 weeks ago. My daughter and I were walking, I think it was a Saturday morning. It must have been Saturday because she would have been at school otherwise. And so we're walking up the hill and we were walking strong, I mean fast. We really built up a sweat, you know. And so we're walking past the south, and all of a sudden this enormous big black dog comes running out, growling and barking and showing his teeth. And I mean, she jumped right off the pavement into the road. And there was no time to think or to even, he'd obviously got out of his back fence. He shouldn't have been out, you know. And just like this, I didn't even think. I just said, go home in Jesus' name. Just like it loud, I shouted at him. I said, in Jesus' name, go home. That's how I said it. In Jesus' name, go home. And that dog got such a fright, it's like he hit a brick wall. He put his front paws out like this, and he almost went like this. I mean, it's like he hit the brick wall. And he stopped dead and just looked at us. It's like he was frozen in his tracks. And Tracy and I just walked on. And I said, oh, aren't you glad the name of Jesus worked? That's exactly what I said to Tracy. And she says, who am I glad? And we just kept walking on. You know, there's a bowl of protection. I needed protection right then. Otherwise, I would have had a missing thigh. That was a very big dog. It wasn't even a nice little Labrador. I mean, it was an ugly looking thing. My thigh would have been a little smaller. And I'm so glad the name of Jesus worked. Because that dog stopped. He hit a brick wall right there. There's a bowl of protection. I received it right there and then. A bowl of protection. You know, it's 20 to 10. I'm so tempted to tell you so many stories because it's so real. I hope you're getting to see that this is real in my life. This is not just something I read out of a book or read out of somewhere else or somebody else's experience. I'm really living this. I'm really living this today. This is up-to-date stuff. There's a bowl of gentleness. Instead of brashness and hardness, there's gentleness. There's a bowl of healing. Some of you need some healing tonight. You said, oh, you know, I'm an RN, okay? I'm a nurse, so my background is in the medical field. And it's so easy when you get sick just to run off to the doctor or to run to the cabinet to get a Tylenol or to run to whatever you've got, you know, or to the psychiatrist to get healing for your emotional wounds. And Jesus said, I'm the great physician. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to heal those that are sick. Just the name of Jesus is above every other name. Every other name. The name of Jesus is above a headache. The name of Jesus is above any infection. The name of Jesus. My daughter, Tracy, had appendicitis. And I'm not against doctors. Not at all. I come from a medical background. But what I'm trying to say here is this. You go first to the Lord. And when the Lord tells you to go to a doctor, that's when you go. And I do. If the Lord tells me to go to a doctor, that's exactly where I go. But you know what? I go first to Him to hear His voice say, what should I do? That's my first thing. And our mindset is, the world mindset is exactly the other way around. We go to the doctor first and we land up in hospital, we're lying flat on our back and we say, oh God, help me. And he says, why didn't you ask me that 24 hours ago? I would have saved you $10,000. You know? But my daughter had an appendicitis and I knew it was. She was bending over, she had a fever, she couldn't straighten this leg, her whole stomach was tender, especially this spot. She had all the signs and symptoms of appendicitis. And we go to the Lord and say, oh God, what do you want us to do? He says, anoint her with oil and pray. We anoint her with oil and we pray. And we pray. And we pray. Three times that day we pray. We lay hands. And I'm saying, oh God, everything within me wants to go to the doctor. But Lord, I want to hear your voice. What do we do? He says, pray. And we pray again. And we pray again. For 3 days we prayed over her. We just prayed over her. For 3 days we did. And I want to tell you that God healed her. I want to tell you that God healed her. Miraculously healed her. Healed her. God is the God. He's the healer. Now, the key is to hear His voice. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you don't ever go to a doctor. But I am saying you come first to the healer, the great physician. And He will tell you what to do and where to go and what doctor to go to if you're to go to a doctor. But He wants to
give you his healing. By his stripes you are healed. I mean, just this week, I had an infection in my body. And I began to speak. I mean, I spoke to Pam on the... Pat. Terry. Pam, Pat, Terry. Sorry, Terry Slack. I'm sorry. And I was all snuffed up in my nose, you know, just like snuffed up. I just had been walking out in the cold and I'd got wet and I had a cold. My nose just dripped. And I mean, I just wanted to get some antibiotics in and, you know, just get myself healed. And I began to speak over myself. I began to say, Jesus, you are Lord over my sinuses. Jesus, you are Lord over my nose. You are Lord over my... I mean, I began to speak it. I would speak it out loud. You know, I don't even care what people think of me anymore. I just honestly don't, because I take the word of what it says, I just do it. Jesus, you are Lord over these sinuses. And you have said by your stripes I am healed. And so therefore, Lord, I receive my healing. And I want to tell you, within one day, I was healed. And you know how cold drags on and drags on and drags on? God healed me. Well, why not? You know, if we just give him a chance, he'll do it. Just give him a chance. Come and receive healing tonight. There's a bowl of strength. Bowl of strength. You feel weak, feel like you can't carry on another day in your job or whatever situation you're in. The Lord says, come and receive my strength. There's a bowl of security. Security. And I'm telling you, I am receiving from this bowl. In the summer, the Lord told us, we bought a house 6 years ago. I did a prayer retreat at somebody's little church, and there were two ladies in that prayer retreat, and the Lord told them to give us $5,000 as a down payment on a house. And so they did. They gave us $5,000, and so we bought a house 6 years ago. But this summer, the Lord told us to sell our house. And so we put it on the market, and within 2 weeks it was sold. And I'm saying, oh God, I'm walking by your Spirit. I will not give in to the fear of the flesh. I will not try and revert back to the way the world does things. Lord, I'm seeking you, and I'm speaking you, and I'm just believing you for my security. We close on the 28th of this month. We have to be out of the house by 2 weeks tomorrow. I don't have a house to go to. I don't have one. I don't know where we're going. I haven't packed one box. I don't know where we're going. We don't have the money to buy another house. We don't. In fact, we will make $749 when we sell our house. It doesn't make any sense, you know. But, you know, I'm not worried. I can't tell you how much peace I've got. I can't tell you how much incredible joy I have. You know why? All the covenant blessings of Abram belong to me. Deuteronomy 28 says that you will be blessed in your going in and you'll be blessed in your coming out. He says you will be the head and not the tail. He says you will live in houses that you did not build. He says that, I mean... You just read Deuteronomy 28. It's the most incredible blessings. You will be the lender and not the borrower. And I'm standing on those promises. I'm receiving them. I'm saying, Lord, you are my security. The Lord gave me a few verses. The one was in Genesis 15, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, do not be afraid. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And I said, yes, Lord. You are my exceedingly great reward. As I walk around our neighborhood and I stand, you, Lord, and I'm pointing, you know, I'm just in another world. That's why I say I'm going to write a book on being a wild woman in prayer. Because I am just wild. I'm standing on those promises. What he said in his word has to come true. It's got to. We've laid our lives on his word. And you know what? He's proved himself faithful and true every time. And I'm 100% confident that he's going to come through this time as well. He is. He is. The Lord said, you know, when he was giving all the portions of the land to all the different tribes of the Levites, he said, the Levites don't get a portion. They get my portion. And he said of the Levites, I am your portion. I am your inheritance. And I said, yes, Lord, you are my inheritance and you are my portion. Therefore, I know there's somebody who's got a house or somebody who's got too much money in the bank that needs to say,
some Levites over there in Texas need to use some of this. I mean, I'm as simple as that. I just really believe that. I wish I could be back here in 2 weeks' time to tell you how God's going to do it. Because I know he's going to do it. I am full of faith in me. It's just like I've grown strong in faith as I've given glory to God. I'm not considering the deadness of, you remember that verse in what I'm quoting in Romans 4? The deadness. Abram didn't consider the deadness of his body or the deadness of his wife's womb, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. He just didn't consider it. And see, I'm not even considering the deadness of our financial position, or the deadness of the fact that our garage is empty, or the deadness of the fact that I've got nowhere to go. I'm not even considering it. I'm going strong in faith as I'm giving glory to God, because he has said, no man has left father and mother and lands and houses that shall not in this life get 100-fold. Isn't that what the word says? I'm just stupid enough to believe the word. And we have staked our lives on the word. And God has not failed us not one time. You know, I wish I could be standing here telling you it's all happened, it's all done. But I'm living it tonight. And I hope you can see faith in me. I hope you can see joy in me. There's not even that much fear. Because God's word, his name is higher. His name is stronger. And he will cause his glorious voice to be heard in the land. And it's wonderful. There's a bowl of rest. Some of you need to quit from all your laboring and striving and enter the rest. There's a bowl of deliverance. Some of you have got some besetting sins that you just absolutely can't get free of. Somebody here has got a secret sin that's only done in the closet. I even know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. But you know what it is. And I want to tell you, God says you can be free of that sin tonight. You can be free. You can be delivered from that sin. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Kill, steal, and destroy. And if you've given him ground, that's exactly what he'll do. You can be free. You can be delivered from all the works of the enemy tonight. You can be free. There's a bowl of peace. There's a bowl of peace. Instead of that confusion and that turmoil, there's a bowl of peace. There's a bowl of hope. Hope. It says Abram hoped against hope. Hope. I'm full of hope. I can't tell you. I've had a double dose helping of hope. Hope is just welling up within me. Hope. There's a bowl of power. All power, all authority has been given to me. It's been given to you. It's yours too. Everything that I have, you can have if you just receive it. There's a bowl of mercy. There's a bowl of victory. There's a bowl of understanding. Jesus said, I am the bread of life and I'm the living water. And there's a bowl of whatever you need. It's a bowl of contentment. Whatever it is you need, he has it there for you. Whatever it is. I might not have named it tonight, but there's a bowl of it for you. Well, not only can you sit down and eat and enjoy everything on that table, but David says, he's prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. You know, when a guest would come to the home of the Hebrew home, they would take oil. When the guest sat down, they'd take oil and they'd pour it over the guest's head. And it would give wonderful refreshment. It would make him feel good. It'll make your hair greasy, I suppose. But that, in those days, it was a sign of great honor and respect that they did towards every guest that came in their home. But you know what? They had to sit down in order to get that anointing. Some of us have been too much of those Marthas, you know, rushing around doing. And we haven't pulled up our chair and said, oh Lord, I need a fresh anointing. This morning I was had to drive my daughter to school to hand in a paper. And we went along this little road and they had just freshly put tar on this road. and they had these little signs outside that said, fresh oil, on both ends of the street. And as we drove down, I said to Trace, I said, fresh oil, Trace. Lord, I receive your fresh oil today. I just went straight into receiving his fresh oil. And she was the same way. She's like kind of used to me now. I just receive your fresh oil. It's every day. And you know what? Today's oil is not enough for tomorrow's oil. I need every day to receive the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. It's in the present tense, like, carry on, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Yesterday's filling wasn't good enough for today's filling. And today's filling is not enough for tomorrow's filling. It's every day, Lord, I receive that anointing. Before I came in here this evening after supper, I went back to my room. I lay on my bed. I stuck both my hands in the air and I said, oh God, I receive your anointing. Tonight, let me receive your anointing that I might bring life to these ladies. Life, oil, life. You see, every one of us, when last were you just anointed with fresh oil? It's so scriptural. It's just, I'm taking it straight from the Word. It's every day receiving the Holy Spirit. Some of you leak a whole lot during the day. It's every day coming to receive the Holy Spirit. Where was I? Okay, fresh oil. And then he said, my cup overflows. And this is a wonderful picture. You know, if we were going to fill a cup, you can't see too well in this glass, but if I was filling your glass just like Mary did for mine at supper time, I'd fill it about like this, about a half an inch from the top, you know. Sorry, I'm so thirsty. But in those days, they would take the cup and they would pour water, they would pour wine in it. And then they'd do this. It would just make a big mess, but it was a picture. Everything was a picture in those days. And they would just let the wine just flow all over the table. You see, it was a picture of abundance. It was a picture of abundance. And they'd say, as long as you're sitting at my table, there's abundant provision for you. Your cup will overflow. As long as you're sitting at my table, there's abundant provision for you. And then David says in the end, he says, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, I looked up those words. I took each word and looked it up in the Hebrew. And that word, literally, that verse, literally could be translated this way. Only prosperity and favor will pursue me all the days of my life. And I had this little picture, you know, I'm kind of picture orientated, of these two little dogs. I'm running through the green fields, and these two little dogs of goodness and mercy, or prosperity and favor, are pursuing me. They just wanting to overtake me. They just hard at my heels, pursuing me all the days of my life. And immediately I thought of Matthew 6:33. You know the verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, where you've gone off is when you start seeking wealth and prosperity instead of seeking Jesus. But when your eyes are upon him, when you have dove eyes, and dove eyes can only look in one direction at a time. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow morning. But when you have dove eyes and you're just seeking him and you're just seeking first the kingdom, all these other things are going to pursue you. They're going to follow you all the days of your life. So no wonder he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, wow, do you want to go anywhere else? There's provision, there's abundance, there's anointing, there's prosperity and favor and goodness and mercy. Why would I want to go anywhere else but stay right there? I gave this message a little while back, and a woman really got hold of this truth, and she wrote me this little card, and I want to just read in closing what she said. I was able to talk to him all day long, and we sat at that table, and what joy it brought back to me. For my breakfast this morning, I had compassion, contentment, wisdom, victory, forgiveness, gentleness, love, peace, gladness, and I really believe Jesus is enjoying feeding me. I almost left the table without the anointing, and Jesus reminded me of that very important blessing. And he called me back and told me, you don't ever have to leave the table. Whenever you have need of drink or feed, any time, he is sitting there waiting to dish up my next helping. Thanks so much for sharing that message with me. You see, it's not only coming tonight, or not only coming this weekend, but it's coming every day of your life to enjoy all of his bountiful provision, his covenant blessings that he's made available to you, his covenant children. Don't let the devil steal another day from you. Don't let him steal your health. Don't let him steal your provision. Don't let him steal your protection. Don't let him steal your healing. Don't let him steal your joy or your wisdom. Don't let him steal anything that you have need of tonight. Come and enjoy it.